Bringing It Home with Sarah and Tennille, Sarah Carly Rae Jepsen.
I have not heard that song in a long time.
I know. She's saying, call me, maybe. And yes. In order to call her, you're going to have a cell phone.
That's so true.
And according to the National Institute of Health, 53% of kids have a smartphone by the age of 11. And by the time we get to the whole 13 to 17 age range, 95% of them have one.
I 1,000% believe this is
true. Yes, I think so too. And you know, with school getting out, you know, pretty soon, parents are starting to kind of think about the phones. You know, the kids that don't have a phone, should I get them one for summer? The ones that do have one, how should I kind of manage that a little bit? So, you know.
That's true, because most people don't have landlines anymore, so if your kids are going to be home by themselves or even with a babysitter, you know, you got to be able to contact them.
Right. Cleveland Clinic, they have a pediatrician by the name of David Hornick, okay? Now, when asked the question, what is the correct age that a child should get a smartphone? His response was from 12 to 14 years old if they are mature enough. So, he left that in there. So, basically, the parent has got to judge whether their child is ready for the smartphone era. Now, the other option is to get them just a basic phone. I don't want to say a flip phone, but a flip phone.
There's nothing wrong with that.
A phone that they can dial on.
I mean, if that's your main purpose for them having a phone is to be able to contact you, then that's really all they need.
Right, right. But let's talk about some of the pros and the cons associated with getting your child a smartphone. And, you know, let's try to help some of these parents out because you've been there.
My daughter is almost 13 and just got a phone.
Yeah.
And we weren't real excited about it when it was time. But there's been instances since middle school and she plays sports that she needed to be able to contact us, you know.
Yeah.
Practice gets done early or game is canceled or, you know, it's late. They're on the bus coming back. What time do I need to pick you up? You know, things like that.
Yeah. And we kind of went back and forth at our house when we were at this stage. You know, I didn't think it was quite time. And you know, it's hard. It's that whole if it's mature enough.
Well, so and we got our son one probably too early. He's a mature kid. You know him.
Yeah.
But he's still a kid.
I know. I know. So let's talk about some of the pros. Because there are some reasons why having a smartphone's a good thing for a kid.
Sure. So it does help kind of with something we just mentioned about being independent. Mm-hmm. You know, they maybe feel like they could venture out a little bit more without supervision, but can call mom, dad, a friend, a parent, a guardian if needed.
So like a safety net, like an emotional safety net. It's like, I want to venture out, but I know that I can get in touch with somebody.
Or it may be time for me to start staying home by myself,
mm-hmm.
and I can't do that and have that independent unless I have a way to contact somebody if I need something.
So
it definitely does. It does help with that for sure.
Right. And you know, a lot of people don't have a computer at home.
Right.
And so children use their smartphones at homework. You know, they use it to connect to the web so they can do research and things like that. However, we're going to go back to this Dr. Hornick at Cleveland Clinic. What he said is that it's being used less and less for this purpose. This is kind of like a crutch. Yeah, we've been kind of using this for a while that, oh, they need it for school to do research. But they're spending a whole lot of time doing things other than school stuff on their phone. And that's okay. We're just saying it's not used for that purpose as much as it used to be.
So true.
Yeah.
So true.
Mm-hmm.
I think, too, like a lot of schools after COVID, they started providing like a school laptop. So that kind of took the need away from having to have a personal device.
Right. That's true.
To do it. But,
that's true.
You know, it's true. So, like I kind of talked about, if there's a true emergency, there's a way to be reached. That's definitely one.
And Sarah, let's just be honest. There are way more emergencies now than there were back in our day when we were growing
up. It's just a different world.
We didn't have mobile phones, obviously, but the things that are happening today, we couldn't have dreamed of some of these things back then.
No.
So, yeah, there are a lot of emergencies. And so that's kind of like a direct line now that you can get in touch with
like
somebody.
Like instant, too, you know, for sure. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I also think, too, a big pro is if your child, you know, rides a bus home from school, or maybe you pay a high school student or something to bring your child home, or if they walk home, you know, if they live in a neighborhood school, you know, they can call you and let you know, or even send you a text, I'm home, or FaceTime you. You can see them.
Or even if they drive home, you still want to know.
Right. Well, my son drives, and I'm like, let me know when you get home. Mm-hmm. Just shoot me a text, whatever.
Yeah.
So, it just gives you a little peace as a parent or a guardian knowing that they're home safe.
Yeah. It's almost worth that however much you pay a month on that family plan to be able to add them. And this is, you know, kind of selfish, I guess, but going back to that peace that it gives you as a parent, if my child has a phone and they're spending more time at home and they're talking to their friends and texting their friends, this is time that they're not spending out with their friends, kind of wandering around and maybe doing things they shouldn't do or whatever.
Right.
I know where they are, you know.
That's true.
Or, you know,
you could poke your head in their room and check on them.
You know where they are. And, you know.
But I also think that could be almost, like, part of that could be a con. So I'm going to transition us into the cons.
Oh, okay. why would that be a con?
So they're on their phones all the time talking and texting with friends. So let's be real, y'all, because adults are addicted to their phones and devices, too. Mm-hmm. It can be all they do all the time. Because we've actually had this conversation in our home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to put it down. You're with your friends all day at school. You're with them at ball practice.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be, like, the 3 or 4 hours we have at home as a family, you're not going to spend all that in your room on the phone with them.
So they have this need to want to be connected all the time.
Right. And they feel left out if they're not. Like, what are they missing? Like, that FOMO is for real, you know, fear of missing out.
And I think the difference is, yes, many adults are addicted to their phones, but they're afraid they're going to miss out on something work-related. You know, a lot of times our addiction has to do with work. Now, I know we do the social media and all this other kind of stuff, but work is also in there. You're also checking your...
Those boundaries are blurred.
Yeah, we have blurred boundaries because of that. And, you know, all of theirs is social. I don't think they're, you know, into their homework that deep.
But I'm like, you know, sometimes we have a no phone zone at our house. And I'm at our church, one of our leaders, like church youth leaders, has had the kids start putting their phones in the basket when they come to youth because they're not focusing on, you know, the lessons and the games and stuff.
Ooh.
So that to me is probably one of the bigger cons, is that they are less likely to interact with the people they're with.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're on their phone.
Okay. Well, one of the cons that I don't think we can ignore is cyberbullying.
Oh, absolutely.
So there's two sides to this coin. So they may be the victim of cyberbullying. You know, people texting them things or posting things on a social and they're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they could be part of the cyberbullying problem.
Right.
Maybe they didn't start it. Somebody else started it, but they jump in and participate with it. Or maybe they do start it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But cyberbullying is a problem. And so they're going to see it or participate in it at some point.
I mean, just think about, like, everything they do, these kids have phones.
Mm-hmm.
Even adults.
Yeah.
Like, if you see somebody fall on the playground, they're recording it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then they're sharing it.
Yeah.
So what used to be not a big deal.
Mm-mm. They're airdropping things to people and group texting things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there you go.
Yeah. So it's definitely something parents need to be checking phones and really pay attention to the apps that you let them download.
Yeah.
You know, because stuff is shared on those that the kids think are not going to be seen again, you know. So, and we want to talk to our kids about it. Like, this is okay to do. This is not okay to do. You know, if this happens, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, it can be dangerous, and there's a lot of viral trends that can be dangerous. You know, a couple years ago, like, a lot of schools were facing, like, vandalism. People were going in the bathrooms and tearing up stuff because it was a viral trend to go to school that day and do things. Like,
yeah,
that's not okay.
Right.
But their little brains don't think through.
No, they don't. They're not little adults, even though their bodies may be adult size right. in some cases. Their brains are not developed enough to realize that everything they see happen on social media, they don't need to try
even
it.
Even like food challenges and, you know.
And just, the hold your breath till you pass out challenge yeah. and all. Like, I mean, I don't know that that's real, but,
girl, who knows?
You know, it's similar things like yeah. that. But yeah. Yeah, those can be dangerous. So and we're talking 12 to 14 year olds.
Yeah. You just got to have those conversations with your mm-hmm. children before you hand them this. It's a huge responsibility on them
yeah, yeah.
To take care of that phone.
And part of that maturity that I think Dr. Hornick may have been referring to was being able to distinguish between what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can put anything on the web, so they can see anything on these phones. So they need to be able to see what false advertising is.
Yes.
They need to know that people can pose as somebody that they're not.
Right.
They can lie to you about things like that. Propaganda. You know, people can tell you this to try to win you over and get you exactly. to be part of something you don't need to be part of. So that comes with maturity.
It does. And unfortunately, hear on the news and see on the news and hear on the radio about children that are having conversations with people they don't know and meeting them.
Right.
And it's scary.
But, you know, Sarah, adults do this.
They do.
So, I mean, it's not a numbers thing. It's not like, oh, they're 14 now right. or they're 16 now. Because we have people that do all of these things that we're talking about. They fall for false advertising
yes.
and send people their money. They, you know, meet
of
people.
All ages.
You know, they fall for catfishing scams
yeah,
and things
exactly.
like that. So, yeah.
It's just conversations that mm-hmm. need to start
yeah.
the day they get a phone or
right.
a device,
mm-hmm.
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, they can get too dependent on technology,
mm-hmm.
and that's the only way they really know how to communicate.
To communicate,
yeah.
right. So you need to put it down. And
conversation.
Face-to-face.
Learn how to have a conversation.
And, like, when we tell our kids, if you have friends over, we don't need to be all up on the phones and devices. Like, you came over to hang out, not to stare at your phone. Like, put it down. So.
But we're all in the same. We want to be together and be on our phones.
But, you know, when you and I are together,
yeah.
I don't want to, like, spend the time watching you be on your phone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, yes, we have to answer texts or
yeah.
answer a phone call, but if we're together for 2 hours and an hour and a half of that, you're spent looking at your phone, then we
right.
haven't spent time together.
Right. But it's not as much of a problem for our generation because we didn't start out like that.
Yeah.
You know,
when
we used to hang out as young people, we didn't have phones.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, it's not part of our DNA almost like it is theirs. So what can we do?
Well, the first thing you do as a parent before you hand them a phone or
yeah.
a device is to set up the parental controls.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's the first thing.
Yeah. Which means the parent needs to learn how to operate their child's phone.
Yeah.
And that is crucial because sometimes these kids have a more advanced phone
yes.
than their parent has.
My house, that's
yeah.
true.
Well, so the parent has to learn how to operate
yeah.
the phone.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We also need to set some boundaries and limit, like, limits on where the phone is at night. If you ask any teacher about kids, like,
mm-hmm.
being tired in class
mm-hmm.
and all that, these kids are staying up on their phones all night, watching videos, playing games, talking to friends, and they're exhausted at school.
Yeah.
Like, just ask anybody working in a school if they're seeing that, and they're going to say yes. So you need to really pay attention to where the phone is at night.
And, you know, it's good to have a phone-free time of day or
mm-hmm.
phone-free zones in the house. And I know you guys do this, I think, during meals.
Yeah, we
the
don't
phone's not
we
allowed.
Don't allow phones
yeah.
at the dinner table,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
That's really good. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's good for us as adults to carve out some phone-free time. I mean, it's good for our marriages.
Yeah.
It's good for our parent-child relationships just to be able to be with each other and see if we're able to have a conversation.
Yeah.
See if we can still talk
right.
and not have our devices in our hands.
It's important,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Yeah.
Also, like we talked about earlier, parents, guardians, it's really important for us to reinforce that stranger danger concept, you know, and don't share too much. Because once you put it out there, you can't get it back, no matter what it is.
That's right.
You know.
That's right. Yeah, you do. You have to think about stranger danger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't need to be conversating with people we don't know their true identity and things like that. So
yeah.
it's just really, really critical that we have these conversations and
yeah.
that we practice it ourselves as adults.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, and this is tough But we really do want to establish some healthy boundaries, though.
Right.
As parents, as caregivers, grandparents, whatever we are, we want to make sure that we work together with our child and establish some boundaries and then respect those. Because if I know the password and I'm wondering what's going on, you know, maybe they've been acting a little strange or they've been a little quiet, and I really want to go through that phone while it's in here at night and see is anything happening that I should know about. It's hard not to do that.
Well, and in our house, part of the deal with getting a phone was actually it's my phone.
Yeah.
I'm paying for it.
Well, that's true.
So I will be checking it, and you don't know when I'm going to check it.
And they know that, though,
and
right?
They know it from day one. So
That is the boundary. Yes. They know that.
Right. And if I see something that is not okay, then you could lose the phone.
Yeah.
So, we set that up from day one, minute one of the phone thing. Yeah. And tablet, because one of my children has an iPad.
That's another podcast.
Right. But a device, I'm going to check them. Yeah. So here's the deal.
Right.
But it can be a great thing. Like, it can be very helpful. Like, one of my daughter's favorite thing is that we have, a family chat, text now.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it is a lot of fun.
They don't like our family text because it's usually me saying, hey, guys, we need to get this done. We need to do this today. And so they don't like mine. So I'm glad y'all have a happy one.
Well, it can be a positive experience for the whole family. You just got to set those boundaries and have those conversations.
Yes. So thank you all for joining us for this important conversation on phone use. And, hopefully we've helped you a little bit.
Absolutely.
With the phones in your house. And in the words of Bob Marley, wait a minute, he didn't have to deal with this.
No.
He did not have to deal with all of this.
Neither did our parents.
No, our parents didn't have to deal with this either. But they would, and he would, want us to live the life you love.
And love the life you live.
Have a good one.